because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, the devil's after me this morning. Oh, the devil's after me. I just got knocked off here off of my show. The devil doesn't want this show to go forward out there. He's after me. That's the attitude of most Christians, isn't it? See, we see the devil behind everything that happens in our life. Oh, that had to be the devil. That had to be an attack. Oh, the devil's attacking me today. Oh, the devil. Listen, first of all, understand this. The devil is not omnipotent, omniscient, or omnipresent. The devil is a created being who can only be in one place at one time. So the odds of the devil attacking you, man, you must be doing something if he comes knocking on your door. That's for sure. The devil has workers. They're called demons, the demonic world. Now, they may come and bother you a little bit, and they may be coming on assignment. I doubt if it's direct assignment from the devil. I doubt that. Really do. They're the antithesis of Christians. The demons are the antithesis. For those of you who live, as Rush would say, in Rio Lindo, antithesis means opposite. See, the demons don't need to be told by their boss what to do. They just know. They just know what to do. And so they go out and they attack finances and they attack health. But to think that, see, many of the problems that you're dealing with today, folks, they're self-induced. It ain't the devil. Let me tell you that. It ain't the devil. Those of you that are struggling with pornography, it ain't the devil. It's you. See, because you don't have to go down and turn that computer on. You don't have to. Oh, there's a little voice in there, maybe something there trying to get you to do it. But my Bible still says if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Resist the enemy, he'll flee from you. So a lot of you are blaming your own undisciplined lifestyle and your own lack of faith on the evil one. Oh, the devil made me do it. Wasn't that Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. And wasn't that what Adam said to God when he came around? He was after they ate the apple. Didn't he say to God, the woman you gave me. It's all your fault. You're the one who gave me that honky. If you kept that woman away from me, things would be fine. And so as a result, we're not very, very effective at all because we won't take responsibility, number one, for our own actions and our own behavior, and our government's in a position where they reward bad behavior. The ultimate Pavlov's dog. Oh, you don't work? Well, here, let me send you some money. Oh, you fornicate and have children outside of wedlock? Oh, let me send you some money. By the way, stop, man. Let me back up. Oh, you fornicate and have children outside of wedlock? Here, let me send you some Christians' money. Somebody say amen. I just hit a bullseye right there, and a lot of you missed it. And the church, see, the church won't stand up and fight against that stuff in the name of compassion. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with these poor, starving children? I'm going to tell you, if you're starving in America, there's something seriously wrong with you. Man, oh, man, you got to. Now, I'm not talking about nutrition. That's not what I'm talking about. But at some point, we're going to have to be compassionate enough to say, hey, you made your bed, sleep in it. You say, well, that hurts the children, too. Well, yeah. So does Bruce Jenner being a woman. That hurts the children, too, but nobody seems to care about that. So does a woman getting an abortion hurt the children, but nobody seems to care about that. So at some point, we're going to have to reach a decision here in America. Are we going to have tough love or not? Are we going to be able to say to people, hey, listen, if you go out and you get in the backseat of a car and you get yourself pregnant, you're on your own. Sorry about your kid. Sorry about it. You're on your own. You see, we're so full of compassion that we worry about this little child who was born out of fornication, and we should worry about that little child. But the idea that the government's going to pay money for that, Christians are going to pay money for the product of fornication. I'm sounding harsh today, aren't I? Well, I'm telling you, if we don't get a more harsh Christianity, we don't have a chance. We do not have a chance. And if we continue to let the world manipulate our Christian philosophies and our Christian views, we will never, ever recover from where we are. I'm just telling you that. And I was reading something last night about men's hearts failing them for fear of things coming upon the earth and what that might look like. And it's probably going to be something. But I can tell you right now, you want to see something that's going to be something? Where do they cut off the welfare benefits? When the government goes dry and they cut off the welfare benefits, you'd be better off if you're not within 100 miles of a city. I can tell you that. Because some of the things that will happen in those cities, your heart's going to fail you for fear. Cannibalism and all that. You say, oh, coach, oh, well, go ahead and believe what you want. I'm just telling you, man. I study people, and I study cause and effect. And unfortunately, in our Christian world, we have eliminated cause and effect. We don't have – the cause is the devil. The effect is I'm hurting and miserable. It's the devil, cause and effect. No, no, no. No, you're smoking those damn cigarettes. You're buying lottery tickets. You're going out and you're fornicating. And then you're homeless. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. And the answer to all these problems, see, if the government really wants to, if the government really wants to do something, they really want to make an impact, why don't they do this? Why don't they fund Christian missionaries and send them into the inner cities? Fund them. Pay for them. Send them in there. Hire an army, not of IRS agents. Hire an army of Christian missionaries who will go in there and radically transform those inner cities through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they need. We used to have those things. They were called pastors. But now those guys that have those guys in those inner cities, the pastors are just small business owners. That's what they are now. Or hospitals. Hospitals for saints instead of place. I'm feeling it here on Friday morning, boys and girls. I'm feeling it. And I'm going to show you why here in a minute. Yeah, Roger.
Oh, I think we're seeing, you know, with the issue of Obamacare. Once you give a benefit, be it pre-existing, be it whatever you want to call it, it is almost impossible to take it back. And that's what we're experiencing there. And you can go through and through as government gets more involved. It's impossible to rein it back in. Over $20 trillion in debt. And we think that something's not coming.
Well, I'm going to pull this up here, Roger, because I made some people mad yesterday. In fact, on my Facebook page, I got almost no responses, which means they agree with me and they're afraid to say anything. Okay? They agree with me. Jared, get up on my Facebook page. Let's start right here this morning.
You look good.
Hey guys, listen. I'm a man under authority. I'm a child of the King. Government. I don't get my right to worship God from the government, okay? I don't get it. And as we read yesterday, persecution is going to come. And sometimes that persecution is going to be the government. You understand this? And really what's supposed to happen is if we want to reclaim our authority, well, the church is going to have to climb its way above atop the government. We've got to get stop being under government and get up on top again and be one nation under God. It's supposed to everything flow from God. So yesterday with the National Day of Prayer, I'm sorry if I'm cynical. No, I'm not. I'm sorry if it bothers you I'm cynical. Yesterday on National Day of Prayer, Trump comes out and signs this bill, religious liberty bill, executive order, which is probably bunk anyway. But don't miss the significance of it here. Here's the government giving to the church what the church rightly owns. We don't need to go to the government for religious liberty. We already have it. And what most of us are facing, we have religious liberty. The government is tyrannical, and we're scared of the government, so we won't exercise our religious liberty. Someone give me a thumbs up, say, Coach, you just nailed it right there. See, that's what it is. Cowardly men in the pulpit. We're all cowards, okay? We're cowards. I don't want to go to jail. Who wants to? Who's going to do something that's going to get you in jail? Well, I'm just passing through. You know what you say? This world's not our home. As I heard Flip Benham say, well, they just put me in a jail ministry. That's what it is. The Lord's will. He puts me in a jail ministry. So I'm watching yesterday. Let me preface this. God bless Franklin Graham. Okay? God bless all he's done, tries to do. Far be it from me, little old me, sitting here in my basement studio to complain. I probably can't carry Franklin Graham's dirty socks. Okay? We'll admit that right up front. And so I don't want to come across as somebody who's far more important, or I got it all right, and I don't want to come across as. Well, I played this yesterday. It's from Jim Garlow, Skyline Church. As far as I know, Pastor Jim Garlow is probably a pretty good guy. Probably is. And some of these influential religious leaders, I think is what they called them, influential religious leaders, were called to a luncheon at the White House. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I got invited to the White House, I'd go. I'd be excited. I'd probably get a selfie taken here and there. I would. I don't think he'd let me in, though, because I don't have a suit. And he wouldn't let me wear my hat. And I'd probably be eating locusts and wild honey and dressed in burlap. So they probably wouldn't let me in. But I have to tell you this. If they would let me in, I'd have something pretty profound to say to the president. And those of you who are watching this know I'd say it. You know that I would. So here we have these religious, influential religious leaders having dinner in the White House. And Pastor Jim Garlow films a couple minutes of it. Now, I want you to watch this with me. And you explain to me, Lord, just let me tell them the truth. Just let me tell them the truth, Lord. Just watch this with spirit eyes. And you ask yourself, is this idolatry and hero worship or not? You make your own. I just watched it. I just watched it. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
There with maybe Mike Pence or something, right? Mike is going to be there?
Mike's coming on Thursday. The opening is with Mike with the clothes.
Jimmy's Dobson.
Say hello to your grandfather. I'm telling you, he's hanging in. That guy doesn't quit.
All these big ones. Ralph Reed.
You better believe it. Good genes. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Watch when he leaves. Watch after he leaves.
Oh, good. Yeah, I might see some of you there.
I wonder if they would show this much respect to the man with nail-scarred hands.
Nice. Thank you so
much. Watch now.
Thank you, an honor. Thank you, everybody.
Because he's going to give them their religious liberty back. He's got a guy in the government now that's going to give them their religious liberty back. It's not over. Stay with me. Jensen Franklin. Influential religious leaders. Same guys that got us in this mess. Paula White. James Dobson. They need a cross hat in that room. Michelle Bachmann. Clap for him again, because he's giving us all religious liberty back. Thank you, O.K. Trump. David Jeremiah. What's that guy, Southern Baptist? Richard Land. Now watch.
We've just had one remarkably amazing. This is live. This is. We have had not only an evening with a meal with the president. I didn't know if he'd just be there maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He ended up staying with us.
2 hours?
2 hours, I suppose.
Tuck us through.
And then invited us all to the private residence.
Okay.
On the, actually, third floor, I believe it was.
Lincoln's bedroom.
In Lincoln's bedroom. He took us on a tour the last 45 minutes, room by room.
Tour guide.
The president was our tour guide.
Yes.
Hold on a second, Jared. Do you suppose they took Trump on a tour of the gospel? Do you suppose they took him on a tour of an abortion clinic? Do you suppose they took him on a tour of a visit inside a gay bedroom? Do you suppose they took him on a tour of the educational system? Go ahead.
That or see that coming at all. Nor did the Secret Service, I don't know.
No, they didn't. He told us to take pictures, and the Secret Service is panicking.
Yeah. we have had a remarkable, stunning evening. Stephen Curtis Chapman then sang Be Still and Know That I'm God, then he sang the Lord's Prayer. A touching, tender moment here. So we're bringing you this live from the White House with the President of the United States and about 40 evangelical leaders. I'll do a little sweep of the room. You'll recognize most of them, I suspect.
Professional Christians, stars. About three. Come all the stars. Where's Coach with his cross hat? See, I don't know about you. I got to be careful because my dark side's about to come out. It's like whining and dining a woman.
Giddy. Giddy.
Giddy. Oh, we got to do this. We got to do this. And we got 2 hours with him. Have they spent 2 hours with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Have they? Do they worship the ground that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords walks on as they do the El Presidente? Listen, I supported Trump. I still support Trump. But I'm trying to tell everybody that Trump ain't God. Trump can't make America great again. And the guys in that room taking all those selfies, they're the ones who got us in this mess. Now, does that sound judgmental? Because I know that's what I get on my Facebook page. Why, you couldn't hold his jockstrap. Oh, of course I couldn't. That's why I ain't there. Can I tell you something? He couldn't hold mine. What do you think, Robert? Are you trying to get in? I can't hear you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'll take the Slings and Arrows outrageous fortune. Guys, that gave me the willies. That gave me the willies. Go ahead, George.
Hey, but the good news is all those famous Christian leaders, now that there won't be any persecution because there's a law, they'll get to keep their fat paychecks and they won't be persecuted. That's right. The good thing out of it.
Yeah, and Trump will fight all the battles for him, right? Trump will fight them all now. You heard him said, talk to Mike Pence about that. See, talk about it. Do you think anybody, can I tell you something? I know this for a fact. Randall Terry, I don't know what you guys think about Randall Terry, doesn't matter. Randall Terry tells the story of when Bill Clinton was president of the United States, 1996, maybe, I can't remember. Sorry if I'm off on the details. Randall Terry happened to be able to be in a Christmas Eve service or Easter Friday, a service where Bill and Hillary Clinton were escorted in the front. They sat in the front row. And when it came time to take communion, everybody got in line, of course, to take communion. And Randall Terry, who was the founder of Operation Rescue, Randall Terry got in line to take communion. And after he went up and got his communion, he turned and to go back to his seat. And there sits the President of the United States in the front pew beside Hillary. And Randall Terry walked right up to the President of the United States and looked into his eyes and says, Mr. President, I want you to know that Almighty God will hold you personally responsible for the death of these babies. Of course, the Secret Service grab him and drag him out the back. But I don't think Randall took any selfies. Talked about the tour that he took when he was in the White House. Does this repulse anybody but me? Am I so jaded that I'm the only one repulsed here?
Dave.
Yeah.
I think of John the Baptist, you know, and his work. You know, he went to the party where the king was. But he wasn't clapping.
Well, not only that, his head went to the party where the king was. Well,
that was after the fact, but he went to the party where the king was, and he said, King, you got some problems.
Mm-hmm. He went to Mrs. King first, I think.
What's that?
He went to Mrs. King first.
Well, I think you're right there. The other thing I would say very quickly is a critical analysis, Samaritan Purse, is a good work.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But a critical analysis of the last 20 or 25 years of Christianity in America would have to reveal the utter failure of the church and the believing body. It is a failure in so many places. And those are the men and women who were in the trenches fighting. They had some success. We'll give them that. But we never talk about how bad things are in the church.
Tell me the... Hang on there. Tell me the success they had again.
Well,
did they stop? Did they prevent gay marriage? Did they prevent abortion?
Let's say Samaritan's Purse. I think Frank Graham has that ministry.
Okay, but here's what I would say, Raj. He's had great success playing defense, cleaning up the mess that's been made. That's basically what Samaritan's Purse does. God bless them. They're a charity. God bless them. What if Franklin Graham, Mark, took all of his resources and took it all on eliminating abortion, repealing homo marriage. Taxation. What if they put all of that on that? Because see, there's nothing that affects the American people more than what goes on in Washington, D.C. Why is he in Haiti? Why is he in Guatemala? How come they're not in Washington, D.C. marshaling all their forces to radically do this? Legalize morality. That's what I think. I didn't mean to step on you, Roger.
No.
Yes, I did mean to. I'm sorry. I did.
No, it's fine. It's just the idea of if we're going to analyze, we give credit where credit's due, but
that's
we
right.
also have a problem.
And hey, Rich, how come I wasn't invited for Flip Benham or Rusty Thomas? I could list 100 men I wish were in that room.
Look like a king's palace. You wouldn't have fit in there, Dave.
Brother, isn't that what it is? Huh? Where is that? That's Matthew 11. Go there, Jared. 7. Matthew 7. Boy, oh boy, did you. Rich, I had that same thought, man. Wow. Let's go there. It's Matthew 7, I think.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I wanted to apologize. I had a friend call, and he was going through a crisis. I didn't hear you. I had the volume turned down. So if you said something, I apologize. I didn't hear you.
I didn't know. That's okay, Robert. That's okay. 11, Jared. I'm sorry. 11. Because I want you to see what Rich just said. I want you to see what Rich just said. Matthew 11. Thank you, Jared. Let's begin at verse 4. They said, are you him or should we look for another? Verse 6. That'd be a good place to start. You sitting down, boys? Are you sitting down? 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In other words, if you're not ashamed of him, you're blessed. If you come into the king's palace and you remain silent, you're denying your father. That's my take. But let's go on here. And then as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, who was not invited to the party, who didn't get the White House tour and see the Lincoln bedroom and get to listen to the Marine Band play. John didn't get to go that. And Jesus said about that, what did you guys go out? What did you come to the White House to see? A reed shaking in the wind? Well, what would you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment and nice suits and puffed up hair and ties and shiny shoes? Is that what you guys went out to see? He said, no. Behold, they that wear soft clothing, why, they're visiting the White House. Yeah? This is so good. I wasn't going to go here today, but I think I will. I'm having fun. But what'd you go out to see? A prophet? Yeah, you sure did. But I'm going to tell you, boys, you saw more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, and he's going to prepare the way before thee. And I'm going to say unto you right now the truth, that of all those that have ever been born unto a woman, there hadn't been anybody greater than that guy eating camel hair, locusts, and wearing sackcloth and ashes. There'd never been a better one than him. But notwithstanding, he, any of you now who have received me and have entered into the kingdom, ain't nobody below him. Hey, Rich, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Kind of hard, that's what he has said. Kind of hard to make a tackle, smile on your face, taking selfies of all the 50 religious leaders in the room. Oh, I'm going to get the emails now. I'm going to get them. Who are you? You're just some old hound dog barking up the trail. You wouldn't know what to do. You'd just follow them breadcrumbs. I hear them coming. Okay, listen, I don't want to go. But how about this? How about letting me put 10 names on that list? Paula White, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Paula White, I'm not trying to be critical. Paula White's on her third marriage. Paula White's on her third marriage.
That is a fair assessment.
Thank you. She's on her third marriage. And I don't know if you saw it yesterday when Trump signed that order in the garden. You know who's right behind her? Paula White. Now, guys, help me out here. Oh, here comes right wing watch. Women aren't supposed to be an authority over men. The Bible says, I don't care. Unless you have a woman pastor, I don't care. I'm just saying what the Bible says. And so there we are in America, Donald Trump giving authority back to the church, like he can do that, right? And who do we see in the background strategically placed behind him? Cupid doll, Paula White. Applaud. Hey, Jared, can you try to Google that real quick so people don't think I'm crazy? I don't know what, Jared. Google Trump and whatever. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And I want you to see it. Paula White, who now is married to Jonathan Cahn. I don't know if you know who he was, but I think somebody helped me out. He was the lead singer of maybe AC/DC or Journey. He's found Jesus. I'm not talking about you can't be redeemed, okay? But it's Paula White's third marriage. She was married to Randy White. Oh, I could get somebody on could tell you some stories. We had to find Jared's finding it, but I want a video of the ceremony and the Where is it, Jared? Where is it? No. Keep on going down, Jared. You'll see her in her bright red dress standing behind and clapping, just clapping away. There. Oh, there you can see her red dress, but that's not it. Let's see if Jared can't find it. Okay. It does. There, maybe this is it. There it is. Try this one. Yeah.
You know, along the lines of what you've been saying, if people would just there take a is. Look at Matthew 11:29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. See, all this pomp and circumstance and everything, it's counterproductive to the true gospel.
It is, brother. It is. And so here it is. This is, you just see that. Jared's going to play a little clip. You see, that's Paula White. Listen, she's a beautiful woman. Beautiful woman. She's been married 3 times. Once just recently, like within the last year, she's married her newest husband, and he's saved. Born again. That's not my point. That isn't my point, you religious demons. That isn't my point. But I say the enemy's given us a point. Go ahead, play that, Jared. Let's watch her clap her hands off. You notice him and her. Do you notice this? Front and center. Him, her, and the American flag. They strategically place these people where they are. Okay, Jared, you don't have to do any more of it. Point made. Okay, Jared, are you ready? You guys ready for something else? This blew me away. Hey, again, this isn't where I was going to go today. Maybe I'm going to make this a series maybe for next week. We'll talk about what I've got up on here for several days because I think it's worthy of it. Jared, pull up Paul Craig Roberts. Yes, Kevin says he's surprised Benny Hinn wasn't there. Jezebel was in the house, just in the White House. Hey, it's right, Kevin. Kevin says there were rumors that Benny Hinn had a thing with Paula White for a while. Do you guys know that? She's front and center there. Wow. Okay, now, Paul Craig Roberts. I don't know if you guys ever follow him. He's former administrator in the Reagan administration. He put this out there today. This was from a speech by Vladimir Putin, September 19, 2013. Now, Putin's our sworn enemy, isn't he? Why is he our sworn enemy? Well, because somebody in Washington, D.C. told us this. He's our sworn enemy. Somebody in Washington, D.C. has told us that it's us against the Russians. When I've been trying to tell you that it's a battle for Western civilization that's going on. And I'm not saying that the Russians are our best buddies, okay? But I want you to think about in 2013, when this was read, I want you to think who was president of the United States. You remember that guy, don't you? Huh? As we're finding now by this recent book that came out with a lot of credibility, bisexual, drug using, Muslim freak. Huh? That's a right-wing watch. That's okay. I stand by it. So while this guy, this quasi-Muslim freak in the White House is pushing globalism and Syrian refugees and Islam, a religion of peace, you want to hear what Putin said? Okay, here we go. It's our mortal enemy, Putin. Speaking about the collapse of Western civilization, September 19, 2013, Putin said this. Another serious challenge to Russia's identity is linked to events taking place in the world. Here, there are both foreign policy and moral aspects. We can see how many of the Euro-Atlantic countries are actually rejecting their roots, including the Christian values that constitute the basis of Western civilization. They're denying moral principles and all traditional identities of national, cultural, religious, and even sexual. They are implementing policies that equate large families with same-sex partnerships. Belief in God is equal with belief in Satan. Hey, boys and girls, this is Vladimir Putin. The excesses of political correctness have reached the point where people are seriously talking about registering political parties whose aim is to promote pedophilia, Vladimir Putin says. People in many European countries are embarrassed or afraid to talk about their religious affiliations. Holidays are abolished or even called something different. Their essence is hidden away, as is the moral foundation. And people are aggressively trying to export this model all over the world. Well, who would that be trying to export it all over the world? LGBTQRSTUVWXYD sex pans. Well, I'm convinced, Putin said, that this opens a direct path to degradation and primitivism, resulting in a profound demographic and moral crisis. You understand what you understand what you're hearing? Who you're hearing it from? What else but the loss of the ability to self-reproduce? Wow, what a phrase that is. You know that you are enslaved when you have lost the ability to self-reproduce. What else but the loss of the ability to self-reproduce could act as the greatest testimony of the moral crisis facing a human society? Today, almost all developed nations are no longer able to reproduce themselves, even with the help of migration. Without the values embedded in Christianity, Putin says, and other world religions, and without the standards of morality that have taken shape over millennia, people will inevitably lose their human dignity. We consider it natural and right to defend these values. One must respect every minority's right to be different, but the rights of the majority must not be put into question. Putin for president. Oh, that's going to go up there somewhere. At the same time, we see attempts to somehow revive a standardized model of a unipolar world and to blur the institutions of international law and national sovereignty. Such a unipolar, in other words, one world government, such a one world government, standardized world, does not require sovereign states or countries. It requires vassals. In a historical sense, this amounts to a rejection of one's own identity of the God-given diversity of the world. Russia agrees with those who believe that key decisions should be worked out on a collective basis, rather than at the discretion of and in the interests of certain countries or groups of countries. Russia believes that international law, not the right of the strong, must apply. And we believe that every country, every nation is not exceptional, but unique, original, and benefits from equal rights, including the right to independently choose their own developmental path. What do you think about that one, Sarge? Now, that sure wouldn't have come out of the mouth of Barack Hussein Obama, president with three Muslim names. Christian president with three Muslim names. Boy, we're being played for fools, aren't we? Huh? We're being played for fools. The crowd went quiet on me. Okay, can I show you something lighthearted here? Is it okay, Raj? Can we chuckle here, man? What time is it? Oh yeah, I got time. I'm thinking here. I'm thinking, processing my mind with what. Yeah, that's it. Is that what I want? Okay, let's do that. Hey, Jared, pull up the next one. It says college. Before we went on air today, we get together here in the queue. We discuss a lot of different things. And we were talking about college costs. And in fact, a couple of days ago, we did a show on how the colleges, through their student loan programs, which is really directly tied to the U.S. government, our children are graduating from college and they're enslaved with college loans. And who are the loans from? Yeah, government. And so a child, I saw this the other day, 19%, almost 20%, almost 1 in 5 college loans are in default right now. That's about $200 billion in default. $200 billion. Is that right, Sarge? I can't do my math. They're in default. In other words, they're not paying it, right? We have to understand a couple things. Number one, the Federal Reserve prints money. The Federal Reserve is not the American government. The federal government prints money, or digits anyway, puts them in bank accounts. It's not even money. It's the illusion of money. And they loan it to the government. See, the government's not, we're not printing our own money. You understand that? The United States has to borrow the dollar. We'll say that really slowly. The United States of America, when it needs money, has to borrow dollars. So how can that be, Coach? The government's it's the head. Yeah, that's right. But they go to the Federal Reserve and ask them to print up some money, fake money based on nothing, and give it to them. And then the Federal Reserve charges interest on money that they created out of thin air. I showed you that video the other day. But then they get smart and the government says, well, let's do this. Let's really push college education. Everybody has to have a college education. Let's make college education not affordable. Let's make it available. No, wait, not available. Let's make it almost necessary for everybody who graduates from high school. They have to go get a college education because the college education is going to cost a lot of money. And we can get the Federal Reserve to loan us the money, and then we can loan it to the kids to go to college, and the kids then – we'll have to pay it back to the government with interest. And because the kids will never really ever see the money, they don't even know they spent it. And so they think college is affordable, and they're going to go to college free because they have all these loans. They have these student loans. And they don't realize when they graduate from college that they have to pay it back. They have to pay it back with hard-earned money that wasn't just created out of thin air. They have to go earn it and pay it back. But it ain't really money. And the government, they're not paying it back to the government. They're paying it back to the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve isn't even a government agency. The Federal Reserve is located someplace who knows where, and somebody pushes a button and they create digits. Guys, do you understand this? I'm not lying about anything I just said to you. I'm not lying to you about anything that I just said. And now we find out that the Muslim in chief, what did he do with the money? It's out there. Google it. What did he do with the money from these student loans? He funded Obamacare. Yeah. Try doing that in your own business. See where you'd end up. High crimes and misdemeanors, but it doesn't matter. Because the idea that there are, in fact, two justice systems. Roger is an attorney, and he knows this. If he goes into a courtroom, with me, and I'm digging in my pocket and giving him money to defend me, and we walk into that in that room, and the other guy's got five attorneys, somebody's in trouble, and it ain't them. That's what's going on, see? That's what's going on. Our children are enslaved to government. Why are they enslaved to government? Because our churches tell them they have to have a college education. I was standing in a large church in Columbus, Ohio, a large one, and I heard the pastor tell the people, stop having children until you can afford it. Now, that's good advice, but is that what the Bible says? What did Putin say to us? If you no longer have the right to self-reproduce, if your ability to reproduce children is conditional, you're already enslaved. And we wonder why we're losing the demographic war. Guys, come on. Please, open your eyes. The government doesn't want us reproducing. You get it? Do you get it? Do you see it yet? Do you see it yet? If they can keep the number, dare I say it, if they can keep the number of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant babies down, if they can eliminate those through government debt so that when a man and a woman get married at age 22 and 23 and they come out of college and they got $100,000 in government debt, well, they can't have children. They got to work. They got to pay off that mortgage, which was a college education. Can't you see the enslavement? Does your pastor ever talk about that? I said the other day, I saw in a study that the most, and 10 years from now, they will need electricians. There's going to be there aren't going to be any electricians. We're going to need electricians. Anybody telling you that? Tell your kid, don't go to college, go be an electrician, go be a plumber. You hearing that? No, we got to go get a college education. Got a good football team. Go Bucks! Man, I'm harsh today on it. So I came across this made me laugh because this is a parody. It's 4 minutes long, and it is so true. This is called Higher Education. This guy has a little website. There's a lot of good videos on it. It's called Ultra Spiritual Life, and this is episode number 58. When I first watched it, I was trying to figure out if he was for real. First one of these I ever saw. This one's on higher education, tongue-in-cheek, satire, sarcasm. They tell us don't use sarcasm. I use it all the time. It's great to prove a point. Okay, listen, it's about 4 minutes long.
I know that the most intelligent way to start making a lot of money is to find a way to get at least $100,000 in debt before you even begin making money. So I decided to go to college. College isn't for most people, it's for all people. If you don't get a degree, then you're declaring you want to be homeless, unhappy, and a failure for the rest of your life. Having a college degree has now been the standard for so long that everyone in the workforce has one. So you having one makes you just like everyone else. And at the same time, somehow your degree sets you apart from everyone else. And if you don't see the brilliance in how this helps you, then you're not very intelligent. And you clearly didn't go to college. My college degree is social validation that I'm someone. I earned it. and I earned it by paying for it. There's no other ways to verify that I'm an intelligent person capable of success and doing big things in the world. Imagine if people were born with innate brilliance, potential, vision, creativity, and ability. Then we wouldn't need college. But that's not the fantasy world that we live in, from what I'm told. So I think it's important to acknowledge that those innate qualities are only found in university educations. If you don't go to college, there's no chance that you'll have a successful career. Success isn't dependent on hard work, vision, and creativity. It's dependent on the degree you achieve before you start achieving in your career. I can't think of anyone who's successful who doesn't have a degree. Not a single person. Especially not anybody that inspires me. What excites me even more than the $100,000 of tuition costs for a degree is all the interest that I have the opportunity to pay on that loan. This adds even more value to my college education because it means I pay more for my education than what my education costs because I can't afford my education. Teachers who only teach a subject rather than actually doing the subject out in the world are the true purveyors of wisdom. They're basically like the wise elders in our society, and they're definitely the wise sages that I'm willing to go into debt for half my life for so that I can learn from them. From early elementary school, I was taught to think that I need to do well in school so that I can get accepted into college so that I can have a successful career. Because that's what I was taught to think, I think that's what I actually think. Therefore, I think that getting a degree is not only a guarantee that I'll have a successful future, but I also think that it's the only way I can have a successful future. And that's a fact. Because there isn't a way to get free information about anything anytime you want it, I think universities are completely justified in charging their customers the prices that they do. Because 30 years ago, a college degree would set you apart, it means it still does today. It's just like once upon a time, a horse and buggy was the most effective form of transportation. Then came cars, then came airplanes. But even still to this day, a horse and buggy is the most effective form of transportation. What kind of job do I have now that I'm out of college? I'm unemployed. But last month I had a job for 3 days. I was hired by an 18-year-old tech entrepreneur. But then he said he had to let me go because I lacked the practical skills to get my job done well. He acted like he didn't even know that I have a degree. He probably doesn't even know what a degree is. Probably thinks in Celsius or something. But my prospects are looking good. Here's my new plan. I'm gonna take all the skills I learned in my MBA and open a video rental store. I know that.
Unfortunately, that is so true, isn't it? That is so true. Now, hang on. You know me. That's church. You just saw church. What he's talking about is the exact same thing that goes on in church. People go to Ohio State University. My great niece is graduating from Ohio State University this weekend. There's a graduation party, and I'm not making fun of her. God bless her for paying her money and running out the clock. She graduated. And we're so proud that she went to Ohio State University. She's a Buckeye, just like many of you are so proud of the church that you go to. Oh, we go to Faith Family Life. That's our goal. All they need is a football team and some pom-poms and some cheerleaders. Because the people go there and they come to church and they sit in the pew and they watch everybody perform and go God, go God. Yeah, go, go, go. Go, God, go! And then they go out and they can't find any employment in the Christian life. So they've become convinced that while they're sitting there in the pew, learning from the master up in the pulpit, practically, in a practical sense, when they leave church, they have no skills.
and have any skills. But they go to faith, family-focused church. Go team! Who's trying to get in here? Hey, listen.
Hey, coach.
Hey, boys. Hang on a minute. Hang on. Hey, boys. I'm nailing it. I'm nailing it right now. Go ahead.
Go ahead, hey, George. Coach, just real... Hey, I'm heading down to the abortion clinic. I hear Paula White and Jensen Franco are going to be there, so I'm excited about that.
They'll be right there beside you.
Hey, listen, Coach, just real quick. You don't even know I'm going to do this, but I feel it on my heart to do it. You know, you're talking about going on offense, and for everyone sitting in the queue and listening to the show, you know, Coach Dave can do a lot more if we'll all back him financially on a monthly basis. Coach doesn't know I'm doing this. He hasn't asked me to do it, but I feel on my heart because as long as we're going to give the least that we can give or not give, we're going to play defense. And you know what? Coach is putting it on the line. He's doing what God's telling him to do. And I just challenge everyone. My wife and I, we give monthly. I'm not saying it to boast, but you know, where your treasure is, you know, there your heart will be also. So I just encourage you, let's give to Coach because there's so much more he can do with the ministry for the kingdom if we'll do our part and give financially.
Thanks, George. I didn't put you up to that. I've said a number of times, if everybody watching this show, would send $20 a month, that's a dollar a show. If you'd send $20 a month our way, we could get a lot done. I've got a big event we're going to go to next week in Louisville, Kentucky. I'd like to take 10 guys with me. I'd like to. But it becomes a financial issue after a while, right? And so you heard what George said. I don't need to say anything more than that. Or we have expenses here. This show is expensive, believe it or not. $20 a month. Every one of you. I looked at yesterday's views. I'm thinking, man, if they just send me $20, everybody that they get off the spiritual welfare and send me $20 a month. Maybe we could expand. Maybe we could keep your money. I don't care. I don't want it to be about money. So George threw me a loop there. What do we do? I'm thinking, you know, I'm watching that video of that Jim Garlow. I cannot carry his jockstrap, okay? He's got a big church. He has great influence. He has so much influence. He got to go to the Lincoln bedroom. All right? He clearly is more influential than me. What can I do to get Jim Garlow to care about the unborn babies? To the same degree that he cares about the Pastor Protection Act. What about the Baby Protection Act? When are we going to have that? And I want you to think about this one. I mentioned this before we went on the queue. I'm talking to all you folks out there listening on whatever you're listening on. What do you think about this? Today I'm going to start a series on Monday on the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ACLU, some other subversive, God-hating organization. I'm going to start a series on that on Monday. But I want to ask you this. Where are the Christian groups that are aggressively taking on the left? Now, wait a minute. I don't mean just like Jay Sekulow's group who just defend people. See, when you have to defend somebody in court, you're on defense. You understand that? One of our attorneys, when we used to go to the clinics and we would get arrested and all that kind of stuff, finally one of our attorneys said something that was pretty profound. He says, listen, guys, you don't have to get arrested. So just film it. Just film that they're threatening you with arrest. Because once you get arrested, I have to defend you. I'm now on defense. And I can't play offense when I'm playing defense. And so ask yourself right now, Christians, one aggressive Christian organization that is out suing the homosexual movement, that's out suing the abortion business, that's out suing those who are influencing our government schools. Here's what we're suing for. We are suing to please let us come in the schools too. Please, can we come in too? Rather than saying, who are these guys? What are they doing in here? Why are they poisoning our kids? One organization, just one organization that's operating like that. Name one for me. One gets up in the morning and attacks. There aren't any. Not very Christian, I suppose. That's what I want to do. I want to play offense. Can I tell you something? I go to a football game. I hope the score is 82-79. Man, is that exciting. I don't like the 3-0 games. I don't like them. Boring. I mean, they're not boring because they're exciting. They're close at the end. 3-0. Okay. But I want to go where it's 82-79. Touchdown after touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. Can somebody tell me one touchdown we scored? Can you tell me one touchdown? And if we just continue to play defense, if all we do is play defense, how many points will we score? Yeah. None. None. And all we're doing is hoping to pick up a fumble or get an interception or to keep a tie. If we can just play for a tie, then Jesus will return. Let's just play for a tie. Let's hold the ground. Let's get the government to let us be able to pray. Say no to sin. Please, Mr. Trump. Thank you, Mr. Trump. We're welcome back. Jesus is welcome back in the White House. Hey, dudes, he owns the place. He owns the place. He owns every brick in it. Jesus owns it. Not the government, not Trump. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And among them are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the Christians whom they are governing. Somebody wind me down here. Wind me up or wind me down.
Hey, Coach, what we've got in the, quote, USA church world is simply this. We have a team with dozens and dozens and dozens of superstar, super expensive quarterbacks, and we never play offense. So what the stinking good are they?
Larry, not only that, they would look at a guy like me and tell everybody, well, he's not on our team. He's not on our team. That's where we are.
Hey, Dave, I can't, you know, that we were in Savannah, that lady walked up to us, you know, and I've had a hard time letting go of that.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, common sense, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, I don't know that it's a bad thing making Jesus look bad. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. Because bad as in God's bad, man. God's right. A bad dude.
Right.
Yeah. Let's make Jesus look bad. He is bad. How do I know he's bad? I got time? Yeah, I got time. Hey, Jared, can I show you how bad he is? Let's go to Revelation, Jared. Book of Revelation. Jesus is bad. I might get a shirt. I might get a shirt about that, Rich. Jesus is bad. 19, Jared. Hmm. 19, verse 11. Let's finish up with this morning. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. He's a bad dude. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He's a bad dude. And he had tattoos. Name tattooed on him that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture with blood dripping off of it. And his name is called the Word of God. He's a bad dude. And the armies, the gang that were with him in heaven, followed after him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that he should smite. I love that word. Smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and a tattoo on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is a bad dude. It's time we let the world know it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. No, I'll see you on Monday.